In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
This past Wednesday evening, I had set aside some time to do some sermon preparation. We were at dinner, and my wife reminded me that there were a couple things that need to be done around the house that evening before my sister comes in town to visit. So I was like, that's no big deal, not a problem at all. The toilet on the main level and then the toilet downstairs, I just need to attack those real quick. It won't take me very long at all. Have you ever embarked on something where you're like, this is not going to take very long, we got this. We're just going to do something real quick, and then when it'll be done, we'll move on, okay? So I go in there, I finish dinner, I go in there, and I observe what's going on, and I'm like, okay, there's a little drip at the bottom. This is not that big deal. I just need to tighten this hose, and if I tighten this hose up, it'll be fine. But I said, before I do that, though, I'm going to turn the water off, and that way, if there's a problem, not a big deal. Well, I go to turn the water off, and it's just a quarter turn, not much, just a quarter. Can't get it to turn. And I'm like, come on. And I put a wrench on it. And I'm like, still can't do it. I said, well, I'll just go ahead and tighten the hose. That'll be fine. I'll just tighten the hose. It'll be fine. So I put a wrench on there and go to tighten the hose. Hose breaks. Psh, water everywhere. Just start. Psh, psh. My daughter's like, what'd I do? I'm like, I don't know. We need to turn the quarter turn. It won't turn the quarter turn. So I'm looking at it. I got to put the wrench on it. And I turn it. It finally turns the quarter turn and it's off. I'm like, okay, we're good. A few towels. Let's clean this up. Tomorrow morning, I'll go get a hose. We'll put a hose on it. We're good to go. So then I have this bright idea. I'm like, we'll just go downstairs and fix the other toilet real quick. So go downstairs, and I go downstairs, look at the toilet. When I start looking at the toilet, I'm like, oh, there's this little green like stream running down the side of the toilet. And it's not like dirty green. It's just like the green from that tab that you put in the top to make the water look pretty. Well, it's leaking out of the tank up the top. It's a clean water tank. I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. The gasket's probably bad. We just need to change those two screws in the gasket. I've got two gaskets right here. It will be fine. This won't take very long at all. This is not going to take just but a minute. So I reach up there, and I grab the little brass screw, and I move the brass screw a little bit, and it breaks off in my hand. And I go, oh, okay, this is great, perfect. I said, well, let me turn the water off. So I reach down and I go to turn the water off on this valve. I turn it all the way tight and then I flush it and then I look in the bowl and the water keeps running. And it keeps running and keeps running and keeps running and keeps running. And it keeps running and keeps running. I was like, well, the valve's not holding. Great. So I got an idea. We'll just turn the main off. We turn the main off and then we'll be able to change the tank gasket. We'll move on. This won't take another 10 minutes. We'll be done. So I go turn the main off. I come back there, pull the tank off, flip it over, find the gasket, reach, pull the gasket off, grab my gasket, different gasket. Oh, you got to be kidding me. And then it dawns on me, hey, you got the main off, Jason. So you can't turn the main back on because the valve won't hold. Therefore, you can't fix the toilet until you get a gasket. And therefore, the house doesn't have water. Bright, just good job, man. Good job. You ever embarked on something and you're just like, this is not going. So I thought it was a good idea at this point to go search all over the house for an hour looking for a gasket. Like I've got these just laying around somewhere. And then it dawns on me at 11:15 that, hey, Jason, you have two toilets down. You need three parts. The water's off to the house. And by the way, you haven't done anything on your sermon. Man, my name is Jason Fullen. I'm excited to be able to speak with you. I'm on the teach team here at LifePoint. And I'm excited to speak to you in this series that we're in called Relatable. We're in part five of a series, and I want to talk to you specifically about this idea of next level faith. Next level faith. And what I'm approaching is this. In our relationships, and which is what the series is about, is how we relate to one another. What role does faith play in our relationships? What role does faith play in the way that we love? And so I pose this question to you. Like, what is it that we think about love and we think about how we're supposed to interact with one another, and how does our faith come to bear on those that we engage with on a daily basis? And I think if we look at this passage that we're going to look at today, it's going to inform us about how our faith is supposed to engage those around us and treat people in a different way. And this passage has a lot of information in it. And what I want to do is just simply look at Mark chapter 2. And I just want to read the 12 verses. So you're going to have to hold on a little bit. And we're just going to just plow right through it, read all 12 verses at once. And then from there, we'll go back and just kind of dig into it a little bit and see how Jesus, in this particular passage, goes through a set of circumstances in order to inform us about faith. And that faith is going to inform us about how we're supposed to participate and in relationship with those around us. Because relationships can be challenging. Relationships can be difficult. And so this summer we're looking at relationships, and this is going to aid us to that end. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, and said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." About 6 years ago, I was driving down the road with my family, and we had just left a wedding rehearsal. We were heading to the rehearsal dinner. This huge storm rolled up. It's just pouring down rain, and it's lightning everywhere. And as we're driving and headed down the road, I noticed that the lightning is getting closer. But more than it's getting closer, it's getting bigger. And I'd never seen this before. And I was just sitting there watching this. And all of a sudden, I don't know where this massive bolt of lightning just fell from the sky. And it was just like, and I was scared. It was just like in awe, and this fear just came upon me. And it was just like, whoa. And I just remember thinking, I've never seen anything like that. Now, I want you to know that that day, when Jesus was speaking in that room to those people, he dropped a lightning bolt in the room. And everybody felt it. In fact, they felt it so much that they said, we've never seen anything like this. And it happens in verse 5. In verse 5, this lightning bolt just falls right in the middle of the room, and it's just like, what just happened? Did he just say what I think he said? And I want you to understand that. We're going to get there. But I need you to get a little context for what's happening. You got these four guys that are walking around, and they're carrying this paralytic man. Now, listen, I don't know the man's name, all right? But I do know that they're carrying him on a mat. And I just kind of feel like if we just call him Matt for a little while, it's going to be okay. We'll just say Matt on the mat. Now, I know, listen, some of you are offended by this right now. You're just like, I cannot believe, how dare he? I'm just going to. And so I apologize up ahead of time. I'm going to call him Matt because I don't want to call him the paralytic. And if you're offended, I apologize, but you can email me. My email address is on the screen. let me know. I'll take care of that. Get right on that. Anyway, so I'm going to refer to the paralytic as Matt because Matt lived on a mat. And we're just going to call him Matt, okay? Let's move on. Anyway, verse 5, something happens. It takes place here. And when it happens, this lightning bolt falls. And when it falls, it changes everything. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, he said to Matt, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, it doesn't feel like a lightning bolt to you and I, but I promise when that happened and he said, my son, your sins are forgiven, everybody in the room collectively gasped and just went, did he just say what I think he said? If you were in the room, you're like, oh. And even if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're just like, oh, did you just say that? The scribes were in the room. These were the lawyers of the day. And they're just like, did he just say what I think he said? Did he just say, my son, your sins are forgiven? Hold on. Wait a minute. You can't do that, Jesus. You can't say your sins are forgiven. That's blasphemous. And if it's blasphemous, I know the law. And the law says I can pick up a stone right now and legally I can throw it at you. In fact, we all can because you're a man and you just claim to be God. And God alone is the one that can forgive sin. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus is sitting there and he reads the room and he's like, listens and he thinks about it and he hears what's in their hearts and he knows and he reads their thoughts. And look what Jesus does. Jesus looks and says, who can forgive sins but God alone? And then he says, and immediately Jesus perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves. And he said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? And they're like, well, how do you know what's in my heart? How'd you do that? And then he says, which is easier to say to Matt, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? And then they're like, well, hold on a minute. Let me think about this. Let's see, which is easier? Well, they're both about the same because it doesn't take any different effort. But wait a minute. If you say, rise and pick up your bed and go home, and that's a miracle. And I don't know about this, but you're going to paint yourself in a corner, Jesus, if you say something like that. And then Jesus says what? Watch this. He doesn't back away. He doesn't get scared. He doesn't say, just kidding. I didn't really mean to say that I was the Son of God or that I claim to be God or that I forgive his sin. No, you know what he does? Jesus kind of leans into it a little bit. And he goes, watch this. So that you may know that I have the authority to forgive sin, then I'm going to say to Matt, pick up your bed and go home. And Matt gets up and Matt picks up his mat and Matt goes home. Matt takes his mat and Matt goes home. Isn't that crazy? And everybody in the room is just like, and then the attorney, the lawyers, they're all sitting there like, wait a minute. If he has the ability to take paralyzed people and make them walk, then maybe he has the ability to forgive sin? The paint in the room just started like, started to peel a little bit like. If you think about this, You think about what Jesus was doing there. I want you to understand, this is a pivotal point, because what's happening here is something so big and such a powerful moment. It's Jesus is putting his deity on display. What Jesus is doing here is he's allowing himself to show who he really was. You know what he was doing? He was sharing the gospel. Jesus was not in there preaching a good message or a do-good message or, hey, I want to be a healer, so I'm going to show you how to heal. He was not in there saying, hey, I'm a religious leader and I want you to come follow me and join my religion. Jesus was not in that room sitting there saying all kinds of good things about work hard and do good. That's not what Jesus was doing in the room. You know what Jesus was doing in the room? Jesus was sharing the gospel. And this is the way he was sharing the gospel. He was saying, hey, I am the gospel. This is the gospel, me. It's me. He was not in there trying to come along and say to them, hey, I'm not a resource. If you need to be healed, don't come in here and just say, expect to get healed. Because that's not, you know what he was doing? He was trying to get everybody in the room to relate to Jesus based upon who Jesus was, not on what Jesus did. If we can begin to understand this concept and allow this to kind of sit on our hearts, it will change the way we relate to those around us. And I think the scripture informs us of that. It takes place just a little bit before verse 5, leading up to verse 5 again, where the thunderbolt dropped. It says, verse 2, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. You see, what's happening is that Jesus is preaching to this crowd, and you got these four guys, and they're walking around with Matt on the mat. And as they turn the corner, they see a crowd of people. When they see the crowd of people, they're like, oh, great. There's no room. Like, we got to get up there and get in. So they get up there, and they're like, excuse me. And nobody's giving up their seat. They're like, I'm here to hear Jesus. I'm not moving. And they're like, well, we got a guy on the mat. They're like, no, there's always people with a need. Just move on. Wait till tomorrow. I think he's healing tomorrow at 2. Show up there. And what do they do? Here's what the guys do. The four guys get together. They set Matt down on the ground for a minute. They say, hold on, Matt. And they put their heads together, and they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, I don't know, but we got to get Matt to Jesus, because if Matt doesn't get to Jesus, then Matt never gets healed. You know what they do? They put a little extra effort in it. They're like, hey, I know. What if we go up on the roof? There's a little set of stairs on the back side. We can go up the set of stairs in the back room. We'll go over to the roof. We'll cut a hole in the roof. You think you're going to stop us? Watch this. What do? They take their faith to a new level. It's next level faith. They're like, our faith's not going to stay here and see a crowd and go, well, we're done. We tried. We'll try again tomorrow, Matt. They say, come on, Matt, hold on. You're probably going to need to hold on. I know you can't do that. So here, let's bungee you on a little bit tighter. There we go. We're going up the stairs. You're going through the roof. They get up to the top of the stairs, they're like, dig a hole. Like, all right, here we go. Start pulling tiles, moving things out of the way, making room, cutting a hole, and they grab some ropes and they start lowering Matt down. Matt's going, this is the most fun I've had in a long time. They're lowering Matt down, and as they lower Matt down, look what happens. It's crazy. It's the craziest part of the whole passage to me. Because what happens here is verse 5 happens. They lower him down, they made an opening and let the bed down on which Matt lay. And when Jesus, watch this, listen. And when Jesus saw their faith, do you see that? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to Matt, Jesus is sitting there, he's talking, all of a sudden dust starts falling from the roof, a tile falls down, people start sweeping stuff out of the way. Oh my gosh, what is going on? Here comes Matt. When Matt comes down, Jesus looks at Matt and sees a paralyzed man. He sees the need. And when he sees the need, he looks up. He doesn't do anything when he sees the need. He doesn't move. He doesn't say, oh, here's a paralyzed man. You need to be healed. Let me heal you real quick. No, what's he do? He stops in that moment. He looks up. When he looks up and he says, when he sees their faith, he turns to Matt. It was their faith that moved Jesus, not Matt's. That'll inform our relationships. It makes us think about what can we do in our lives to impact those around us, because our faith matters. You know what I'm afraid we do? Too many times we see a crowd, we're trying to help somebody, just go, well, it's a little crowded right now. We should probably wait till a better time. We don't have next level faith. We have really weak faith. We want to help people come to Jesus, and we're like, it takes a lot of effort. I just don't want to put the work into it. Or we think, oh, this is going to take about 5 minutes. This is no problem at all. I'm just going to help them real quick, and then we'll be done, and it'll be over, and it's fine. We'll move on. And then it starts taking a little longer and a little longer and a little longer, and we're like, ugh, I really didn't want to invest this much. Instead, what do these four guys do? These four guys got there and go, wow, this is going to take a lot more effort. We thought, let's go to the roof. Let's take it to a new level here. My kids are young, and oftentimes I'll be like, hey, kids, here's what I want you to do. I want you to unload the dishwasher, okay? As soon as I say the words unload the dishwasher, it's like this syndrome falls upon them where their legs give out and they're just like, they just turn into noodle legs. All of a sudden, they're just like, you want me to what? I'm like, you dirty the dishes too, you know. You could live here, participate a little bit. They're like, I like, they're clean. Just pick them up and put them in the drawer or put them in the cabinet. It's not that hard. They're like, I don't wanna. I'm like, oh my gosh, you act like you're dying. Like, stop. Just stop and unload the dishwasher. No, don't make me. It's like, what is wrong with your leg? Just, you can't even disagree just standing up. They're like, no. But I wonder this. I wonder how many times that we need next level faith. We are bringing somebody to Jesus and there's a crowd and we get there and we see the crowd and it takes next level faith. But instead of taking next level faith, we just turn it into like, oh my gosh, there's a crowd. Sorry, Matt. Here we go. Take you back home, buddy. I'm just afraid that so many times we just have noodle leg faith instead of next level faith. And it's next level faith that's what required to get our Matt in our life to Jesus. Because watch this. Without those men, Matt never gets healed. And look, I think that even those guys were surprised. I think they were like lowered him down in there and then Jesus looks up and sees their faith and turns around and says, my son, your sins are forgiven. And the guys are like that, whoa, time out, wait. No, he's paralyzed. Wrong miracle. No, he can't walk. The mat, do you see the roof, the hole? That's why we didn't, wrong guy. What's he doing? You see, here's what I think. Too many times, everybody wants to come to Jesus because of what he can do instead of who he is. And so what does that mean? I think too many times we try to relate to God that way. We want to come to Jesus and just say, hey, really, I really need some help with my finances right now, God. Hey, there's some things going on in my life. I really need you to intervene here. And we just want all these things that he can do instead of coming to him and realizing the awe and the gravity that he is God Almighty. And Jesus comes into the room that day and says, you want to relate to me because of what I can do for you. Some miracle or in some way where I can do a good work and everything will be fine. But instead, I'm going to make you relate to me about who I am, which is why he turns to Matt and he looks at their faith and he says, their faith got you this far. They may not have even known the need in his life, but Jesus looks at Matt and he sees his greatest need. And his greatest need is not his paralyzed legs. His greatest need is his paralyzed heart. I think that's what it takes for you and I sometimes. We need to look through something. And when we look through something and we see a person's life and we say, hey, I'm going to invest in them, but it's not going to take just regular faith. It's going to take some next level faith. And we have so many weak Christians that just, when that opportunity comes and God presents it to us, we just go, I don't want, and we just develop these spiritual noodle legs and we can't get Matt to Jesus. It's interesting, you know, as adults, we don't do noodle legs, right? We're too good for that. So it comes in a different form. It comes in the form of a different excuse. It's interesting, in the book of Matthew, he quotes Isaiah being prophetic and speaking about Jesus coming and leaving Nazareth and going to Capernaum. And he's in Capernaum when he does this miracle for Matt. And listen what it says here. It says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, away of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in the darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Translation, Jesus was right where he was supposed to be in the middle of darkness and he was the light that was dawned and it was appointed for him to be there to meet Matt on that day. Is that not true for you too? As a believer in Jesus, are you not in the place where God has put you, but we want to make excuses. We're like, oh, we got these noodle lights. Oh, but you don't understand. My job is so, I'm still in Carroll County, for heaven's sakes. Lord, come on. I go to Carroll Community College. We just have this noodle legs, and it comes across as so much more sophisticated. Like, but God has not delivered me to the place where I'm actually going to do the ministry. And you're like, hello, you're in a dark place already. There's enough need all around you that needs Jesus. And it's not just because they have need. It's because they need to know who the authority of Jesus is in their life. And you are the one with next level faith that's required to bring them to him, yet we perform with noodle leg faith. What can we do differently? How can this information, this understanding that we're not bringing people along to help them in their need in order to help them with their finances so they can meet Dave Ramsey? We're here to bring them to allow the authority of Jesus Christ and his deity and the gospel of who he is to impact their life and to heal their heart. What Jesus did that day shook the room because it put on display that he was truly God. And that is the same message that we're trying to bring our friends to. I think that the guys that brought Matt to Jesus were so determined. They were so determined. And I think that's going to take that within us. You know, I've been thinking about this a little bit, preparing for this. And I was thinking, if I were in the room. If I were in the room, how would I feel? What would be going through my mind? And I could tell you exactly how I feel. I'd be sitting on the third row and I'd be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm gonna hear Jesus speak. I've been trying so hard to get in front of him and now I'm talking. There's been so many crowds and now I heard about Secret Church and I'm so excited because I'm here right in front of him. Who are all these people that are here? Why, I thought this was supposed to be a secret gathering. There's not supposed to be many people now. There's a crowd that keeps going like, why are there so many people here? Oh my goodness. At least there's nobody here trying to get healed so we can finally hear him talk. And then he starts talking, and I'm sure I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so good. This is so good. I'm going to write that down. Good job, Jesus. You're doing a great job. This is such a great sermon. And I can see me just writing it down and getting excited. And be like, this is so odd. And then all of a sudden, there's like footsteps on the roof. And you're like, what is that? Hush. What are they doing up there? And then there's a hole in the roof. And then here comes this paralyzed man. Like, what is he doing? He's messing this up. Then I'd be mad at the crowd. Why didn't the crowd just move out of the way and let Matt in? Let him get his healing done and get on out of here so we can continue with the service. I can just see me mad. I'm like, just like, ooh, come on. And then I can see me going, oh my goodness, he just healed Matt. I'd be mad at Jesus too before that because I'd be like, you just claim to forgive sins. You just can't do that. Now everybody wants to stone you. You made it all awkward in here. Everybody's trying to like, well, now what do we do? And then now you're healing Matt and then Matt gets up and walks out and I nearly missed it because I have a bad attitude. Oh my gosh. I'd just be blown away. But then I thought about it. And I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought a little bit more, and then it would dawn on me. No. If I were in the room, I'd be Matt. I need somebody like those that have come before me. People like Lynn Golden, Mike and Trish Fullen, my parents, my best friend Kristen Green, and his parents, John and Catherine Green, Mitch Powell, my youth pastor, all symbolically making a way for me to see Jesus for who he really was. Not just a good teacher, not just a religious leader, not somebody that likes to go around and share good, cool messages, but God Almighty in human form. And they lowered me in front of Jesus and allowed me to see him, and my heart was changed. I'd be Matt. And you know what I think? I think those four guys that lowered him in loved Matt so well that they thought, we got to do something. And I'm going to have next level faith. And I think that those four guys either had some idea about what it meant to know Jesus because they worked so hard to take it to a whole new level, to dig a hole in the roof, to get Matt. And they knew that if we don't move Matt, then Matt doesn't know Jesus. And nothing got in their way. Nothing. And Jesus saw his greatest need and he heals him. About 11:15, it dawned on me that night, Wednesday night, if I'm going to finish this job, I got a sermon prep the rest of the week. I got my sister coming in town. I want to spend time with her. I'm going to have to put a little more effort in this than I thought it was going to. I got to get to Walmart before they close at midnight. I went to Walmart. I've had all three parts. I got back home, went to bed at 2 a.m. Toilets were fixed. Sometimes it takes some determination within us to have next level faith And when we hit the first pipe that breaks and water spews all over the floor, and we just immediately want to react with noodle legs. Like, God, are you serious? These people are hard, but you don't understand, they're my coworkers and I don't like them very much. Lord, please. And if we look past their need and we look to their greatest depravity, we look to their heart and that they are far from God, and without us shining light in a dark place, they may not know him. That informs our relationships, and that informs how our faith can come alongside those that are far from God, and we can move them from where they are, put them in front of Jesus, and Jesus, in his authority, can reign in their life. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for what you want to do in us and through us. Thank you for allowing us to participate. Thank you for allowing us to even have the opportunity to have next level faith, to look at and survey a situation and go, oh, this is going to take a lot of effort, but I'm going to grab a few friends and we're going to pray ourselves through, and we're not going to let anything stop us. The crowd, the roof, how busy life is, the excuses we can come at, where we are. Instead, we're just going to embrace the things that are around us, the people that are around us, the time that we have, and we're going to move forward with next level faith. We're going to leave noodle legs behind. We're going to be determined to get people in front of you and let them see your authority and how you can change their life, redeem them, forgive their sin, and move them into kingdom work. God, we thank you for all that you do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.